friend of your religion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Yageshwara, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the beneficiary of all kinds of sacrificial ceremonies. Such sacrificial ceremonies are prescribed differently in the scriptures for different ages. In other words, sacrifice means to accept the supremacy of the Lord and thereby perform acts by which the Lord may be satisfied in all respects. The atheists do not believe in the existence of God, and they do not perform any sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. Any place or country where the supremacy of the Lord is accepted and thus sacrifice is performed is called Brahmavarta. There are different countries in different parts of the world, and each and every country may have different types of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. But the central point in pleasing Him is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and it is truthfulness. The basic principle of religion is truthfulness, and the ultimate goal of all religions is to satisfy the Lord. In this age of Kali, the greatest common formula of sacrifice is the Sankirtana Yajna. That is the opinion of the experts who know how to propagate the process of Yajna. Lord Chaitanya preached this method of Yajna, and it is understood from this verse that the sacrificial method of Sankirtana Yajna may be performed anywhere and everywhere in order to drive away the personality of Kali and save human society from falling prey to the influence of the age.
Avartitavyam tadadharma bandho dharmena satina ca avartitavye brahmavarte yatra yajanti yajyaya yajyeshwaram yajyavitana vigyaha.
This is also the way Srila Prabhupada set up his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that it was open to everyone, there was no restrictions, but only persons who were willing to follow the principles of religion were allowed to stay in the temples. Those who were not, they could still visit. There was no restriction on who could visit. We never put any policy that Prabhupada never said that persons who eat meat can't visit, or persons who take intoxication can't visit the temple. He allowed everyone to visit and even see the deity. But, of course, living in the temple, he was very strict. Strict in the sense that they had to agree and actually follow the principles of religion. Now in India, they had a policy, still they do in some temples, that those who were not born in Vedic families, or India, shall we say, Indian families, could not come into the temple, even. Of course, that was based on birth. That's not a very good system. Because what happened was, persons who might have been born in an Indian family but were addicted to sinful activities were still allowed to enter and see the deity, whereas others who may have been born in sinful families but gave up sins and became devotees of the Lord were not allowed. So that was a fault. It was a faulty system, and Prabhupada pointed that out. Jagannath Puri, they had this policy. So, the association is very important. As we were hearing yesterday, if we associate with those who are addicted to sinful activities, then we will eventually succumb. And it may not take too long because we're already prone to engage in sinful activities. We're already corrupt. Therefore, association is, shall we say, the most important thing. If we associate with devotees who are fully engaged in devotional service, then we'll get the taste for that by associating with them. Because our nature is marginal, we're tatastha shakti, the jiva souls, he is marginal, he can go either way. If he associates with devotees, then he can become a devotee. And if he associates with non-devotees, then he'll become a non-devotee. By nature, everyone is a devotee. It is Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabanoi Shramanadi Shuddha Chitta Kore Udoi. By nature, we're all servants of Krishna. But that nature is traced back a long way to get to that point where the living entity was purely serving Krishna. Maybe a long ways back for the living entities in the material world. Because how long have we been in the material world? There's no telling. It could be for anadi karma pale. It could be way back, millions of lifetimes. After millions of lifetimes, one's nature changes. He's become, they say, habit is second nature. So now his second nature has come out, and the second nature is quite evil. So if one asks the question philosophically, so is man good or bad? Is he intrinsically evil? No, intrinsically he's good. But right now he's bad because he's been in such bad association and bad habits for so long. Very difficult to change. But sadhu sangha, this process of associating with sadhus, someone may say, well, but who are the real sadhus? Maybe one like Prabhupada is a sadhu. Yes, it's true, the sadhu is rare. But one sadhu can transform many others into becoming sadhus. He can do that by, he's like a touchstone, sparshamani. Touchstone is a stone that you can touch iron and it turns into gold. He can do that. So a pure devotee has got the power to transform others into sadhus. The Krishna consciousness movement was meant for doing that. It's meant to be one big touchstone. And anywhere that it touches, in other words, anyone who comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement is supposed to become a devotee. Anyone who comes in touch in any way, through the books, through prasadam, through hearing, through temple, through Ratha Yatra, they should become influenced. At least if they're yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam punyakarmanam te dvandva nimukta vidyate maham dvata. That if one has performed pious activities in this life or in previous lives, then he can take the devotional service. And it's like dry grass. If the spark falls in dry grass, then it can immediately ignite. So the dry grass is compared to the mode of goodness. If someone is inclined towards pious life, then they can take to it Krishna consciousness. But the power of the Sankirtan movement is so great that even if one is not inclined towards the mode of goodness, even if one is situated in passion or ignorance, You can also become a pure devotee very quickly. And the reason is because the fire is so hot. When the fire is hot, even stones can melt. Generally, stones don't melt in fire, but if it's very, very hot, they'll also melt. And so Lord Chaitanya's mercy is so hot, it's melting everyone's heart. You see so many vilechas and yavanas. It's not easy to convert vilechas and yavanas. That's the most difficult thing, to convert meat-eaters to become devotees. That's why in the Bhagavatam, the story is there of Narad Muni, how he converted a hunter. It's considered an extraordinary thing. Parvat Muni was amazed. He said, how have you done this? So if Narad Muni was praised for converting one hunter, what is Prabhupada's credit for converting thousands? Or more than that? Isn't that an amazing thing? Who would have thought that anyone from these Western countries would become a saint, saintly person? As I was mentioning, it made such an impression on me that the other day I was on the airplane and with five seminarians. Now seminarians are considered to be, that's about the highest you can go in saintliness. In America, I saw that anyone who was sitting next to him was very impressed that I'm sitting next to a seminarian. And they were very respectful to them, more than the soldiers. You know how everyone's respectful to soldiers who are fighting in Iraq or something. Everyone's treating them so nicely. Oh, are you okay? But they were treating the seminarians with even as much or more respect. But the seminarians themselves were drinking and lusting after women, eating meat. So, there's no purity. But by the mercy of Nittai and Gauranga and their servant Srila Prabhupada, so many persons have taken up pure devotional service. We were talking to a Christian the other day, and he wanted to make the point very strongly that we're all sinful. We're all sinners. And we both pointed out, I was with Jagavinda, we pointed out, but it's not required to remain a sinner. If you actually take shelter of Jesus, if you actually follow his instructions, then you'll give up sinful life. And he was very attached, no, but still we're all sinners. So they have this conception that you have to remain sinful even after hearing and supposedly surrendering. Even after you surrender, you still remain sinful. What's the use in surrendering then? If you're going to remain sinful, then it might be just as good not to surrender. But they have concocted an idea that surrender means just some in the mind, but you don't do it. You have a desire. You appreciate the Savior, but you don't take his instructions very seriously. You don't follow them. Yeah, it's like if someone, the policeman says, "Okay, pull over here," and you say, "Yes, officer," and you just drive right on, straight on through. So the officer then he'll call the others and they arrest you, and finally they say, why did you do that? He told you to pull over. And you say, well, I told him yes, I would. I said, I agreed. But then they'll say, but why did you do it? He said, well, you know, by nature, we're all sinners. You know, by nature, we're not cooperative, we don't follow. They won't accept that. No judge will accept that. Say, no, you can do it. If he tells you to pull over, it's not so difficult. After all, what are the sinful activities? Prabhupada said, we have our four commandments, they have 10 commandments. The following the Ten Commandments is not so difficult. Who knows the Ten Commandments? Anyone know? Some of them. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, covet. Yeah? So these are not difficult. Don't steal, don't have adultery, don't kill, don't So these are good principles that should be followed, and the Krishna Consciousness Movement teaches people how to follow them. So actually a good devotee of Krishna will be also a good Christian, he'll be a good Jew, he'll be a good Muslim, he'll be a good Buddhist, whatever one wants to be, a good something. If he becomes a good devotee, he'll naturally be good. Yes, yes, dibhakti bhagavat ikinchana sarvar tattva samasate sara. He'll have all the good qualities. A good devotee will also be a good philosopher. He'll be a good family man. He'll be, for example, Arjuna was the best warrior. So the best warriors will be devotee warriors. The best philosophers will be devotee philosophers. The best householders will be the devotee householders. The best artists will be the devotee artists. We saw some drawings, one devotee was showing. They were drawing, it was a Western artist painting in the 1700s. They were in India, evidently. Early 1800s, they were doing some drawing. So they were very technically nice, but there was no, you know, Krishna wasn't there. Whereas a devotee, he puts Krishna there. Even if his technical ability is not as good as someone else's, the fact that he puts Krishna there, that is his credit. And that makes him a good artist. There's a verse that says that in the Bhagavatam, Tat bhag visargo janataka viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhavat yapi namanyananta se yashon kitana yat shrimanti gayanti sarva. That even if transcendental glorification of the Lord is composed faultily, even if the language is not perfectly done, because it is meant to glorify the Lord, it will be appreciated by those who are thoroughly honest. So Prabhupada used, that's the verse that he quoted in the beginning of his Bhagavatam, because he considered that his English would not be perfect. English was not his first language, maybe his third language, fourth language. Well, at least Bengali was his first, then maybe English, then Hindi, Sanskrit. He knew four languages. So he was concerned that my English may not be so good. But still, I have to do it. Because the example is given, when there's a fire, then the neighbor, if someone even doesn't speak the language, he goes out and tells the neighbors that he gets the point across. Fire, 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 come, 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 help. So even if we don't speak the language, if we're enthusiastic, we'll be able to get the point across.
Someone might say then that means that we shouldn't scrutinize Prabhupada's books.
we should just try to understand the big picture. Like sometimes we try to understand every detail of what Prabhupada's written, but it seems like that's not appropriate in a sense.
Why?
That we should scrutinize every word that Prabhupada's written.
Why? I don't understand.
Well, because you're saying that, you know, he may not be able to communicate exactly, you know, in perfect grammar and things like that. So.
Grammar may not be perfect, but the meaning he was able to do very well. That anyone who carefully looks at his writings can tell that he was able to express his meaning quite well. Maybe the commas weren't there or the spelling was a little different, but just like if someone his house is on fire and he comes to you and he's telling you to come and help him, you can't say it's not important. It is important. He's making it very clear that it's important.
I was thinking in reference to like sometimes I guess to be quite blunt, feminists they see that Prabhupada always uses the word he rather than he, she, like that's the today's standard, he, she.
Well, that's not any fault on his part. That was the customary usage at that time.
Yeah.
He was just following the usage of the time. Formerly, people from Africa were called, they had very derogatory terms, Negro. Well, before that, well, there was Negro was the original, I guess, term. But then that was considered, well, what does Negro mean? It means black. But they didn't like it, so it went out of fashion. Then it became black. But black and Negro is the same meaning. It's no different. That's what Negro means. It's just, so now African American is the standard. So according to time and circumstance, certain words may come into usage or out of usage. You can't criticize a person for that. That was implied, he, she. He means, you know, the human, a man. It's like we say man. We don't say man and woman. When we're generalizing, when we're giving a explanation about man, about the humankind, it's shortened to man. So there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.